Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Hello. You guys, welcome back to another episode of Dear Abby. I'm your host. My name is Abby, and we are having a very relaxed episode today because my throat is feeling pretty bad. I have been sick this week, and my throat has been killing me. I was at work today after going to urgent care, making sure I'm not, you know, contagious. I think it's just allergies is what they said. So I don't really know what's going on. Anyways, went to work today because can't take too much time off. You know how it be. And it was one of those days where I was trying not to cough all day. Just constantly trying to hold in a cough because I didn't want to cough too much. And so when I did have to cough, I had to run to the bathroom and just cough up a storm in the bathroom. Just always have like a frog in my throat or like a scratch. There's nothing more painful, honestly, than throat stuff. It's so miserable. And yeah, so it has been a while since I've gotten that sick, especially with like a sore throat. It's like my lymph nodes were swollen. Anyways, won't go into detail. Wasn't feeling good, not feeling great now. I will record whether it be in whatever weather, whether it be snowy, snotty, rainy, or sunny. I'm also serving Snape today again. I guess he's my inspiration for how my hair is supposed to look. You guys just catch me at a bad time. I know I'm fully in control of when I record, but still, you guys catch me at a bad time. So yeah, it's really hard to be constantly looking cute. And I know it's like for my podcast, so I should try to appear looking cute, but it's hard to like, sometimes when you don't feel cute, you don't even want to try. Like, makes you feel less cute when you put on makeup or when you do your hair. Like for me, it sometimes makes me feel crazier or like more sad because I'll put on makeup and I'm like, oh, even if I try to put on makeup, I'm still a hideous monster. So that's what we're dealing with today. It's been a sad couple of days. I've felt pretty lonely, honestly, because I've just been quarantined. Pretty much no one wants to be around me. I'm a disgusting sicko, apparently. Yeah, pretty wild. So today I really just want it to be calm vibes. Hopefully, I want kind of every episode to be calm vibes, but you know, we don't always get there. So today I do want it to be calm vibes, and I apologize if my voice sounds a little bit weird. Yeah, I probably have about 20 pounds of phlegm, in my system. So sorry. Again, today we're talking about the two other like lessons that I learned from my divorce. As I said last week, we were going to do this, and so we're going to get to that. And then before that, we're going to do dubs and L's. So let's get into it. I'm trying to find the notes that I have for dubs and L's. I found a note on my podcast thing that just says, why did the founding fathers come over to the side and why did they set up the Constitution? So that's interesting. I think I was trying to remind myself to, I like to be educated. I actually really like history. I actually wanted to be a history teacher before I discovered that I didn't want to be a teacher at all. And maybe in the future I will be, who knows? But yeah, I wanted to be a history teacher and learn about history. And I find it really fascinating and extremely important because history is literally lessons, and I know why the founding fathers made the Constitution. You know, I understand that, but I kind of want to get really granular with the information of, you know, which or each founding father, their story, and then also exactly what was going on, and kind of just reading more in depth stuff about that kind of a thing. I think just because I'm very passionate about that, there must have been a reason that they went to war. You know what I mean? So Yeah, I just find that fascinating. And it's just a weird random note. I forgot that I had that on my notes. I don't know why I put that on here. Okay, so a dub this week was in therapy. Again, I've said this, but I'm back in therapy for my OCD recovery. I've been definitely in a relapse and it's been pretty bad. I'm constantly probably means like 5 hours a day. I'm ruminating about something, and there's just still compulsive behaviors that I do, and you know, I'm trying to shed. But when you've been doing compulsive behaviors for most of your life and you've been living out of fear for most of your life, it's really hard to kind of let yourself live out of, you know, love or trust or faith. And I'm not saying I've never lived out of faith, or that if you have OCD, you don't have faith, because I actually think that you have a ton of faith in whatever it is. You have like extra doubt, and your brain is like extra hard. So it's even more impressive. I've been trying to obviously get better from OCD, and I have been doing more structured therapy, like a hierarchy is what they call it. So you basically list out your biggest fears, and you basically just have to be exposed to things that trigger this anxiety surrounding that fear. I have a hard time with ERP because I feel like when I'm in therapy, my OCD like goes away, you know? And so when we try to exposure in session, which is like maybe looking at a triggering picture or reading an article or reading out of like, you know, the Bible, if that triggers you, anything you avoid or whatever. Sometimes I feel like I don't get triggered because I'm like with someone else, and I feel like the more alone, I don't know, it just does, it like goes away during sessions. And so that's kind of difficult because I like want to do exposures in session, but it's like, I can't, like, just isn't, I don't know, it just doesn't really work that well in session for me. Also, maybe we're just doing the wrong exposure. So maybe there are certain exposures in session that we can do that'll actually spike my anxiety. So yesterday, or was it the day before? Anyways, I just had a therapy appointment, and it was actually one of the first sessions I've had that actually really triggered my anxiety and like my OCD obsessions and thoughts and intrusive thoughts and intrusive images. And yeah, it worked. And it was really hard because I think to encourage anyone that has OCD or is still in recovery or whatever, it is never going to be something that you want to do. I never want to do exposures. I don't like my intrusive thoughts. I don't like being scared and feeling helpless and out of control. So when you do exposures, you obviously really don't want to do it. So sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to do that exposure. But it's like, well, if you don't want to do that exposure, you probably should, type of a thing. So that was a big dub. And I really, really like my new therapist. I've said that a million times. So shout out to NoCD again. And sometimes in therapy sessions, I feel like I have to present myself in a good way or be a good client or be super, you know, whatever. You know, she asks me to kind of break that down. And so I'm usually pretty honest in therapy, but sometimes I can't help but like kind of mask up still and not be super honest about like maybe how discouraged I am or how depressed I feel, how hopeless I feel sometimes. She just really encouraged me to be super, of all places, to just be super brutally honest with yourself and about how you're feeling. And, you know, that is the place to do so. So it was really nice to be able to even just express that sometimes I feel extremely discouraged. And then that, you know, turns into more shame, and it's just like a cycle. And she suggested a book, so I'll be reading that book. But it was a good session, so I feel more hopeful. There's like a glimmer of hope. I think when you relapse, it's really hard. And I've talked about it almost every episode. If you've had OCD your whole life and you never got treated until, you know, you're in your 20s, mid-20s, there's a lot of deconstructing, and a lot of things are really hard to let go. You don't want to let them go. Like, it's not like everything feels good in the moment. It's very heart-wrenching and very gut-wrenching. and very scary. It's very, very scary. So yeah, I just want to validate anyone out there that it is very hard. The times that I've felt free from it have been so worth all the hard times. And I just have to remember that like it's worked before, it can work again. An L would be that I got sick. That was a big L. I had to turn to the side to swallow because my lymph nodes and everything was so swollen. So I had to get a certain angle just right, not in an OCD way. I can see why you think that. It was literally had to be just right because if not, it was so incredibly painful and my whole throat would like, it would like crunch. I don't think that makes any sense, but it felt like my throat was crunching every time I'd swallow. It was like, I could still breathe, you know, but it was painful. Every swallow felt like an entire year. You don't realize how much you need to swallow until it hurts, you know? And then every swallow feels like, it's like, okay, get ready. Here we go. We're gonna swallow. And then it hurts. And it just keeps hurting. And it doesn't ever stop hurting. Until it does. Me and my mom were joking around, like, when you get sick, you just feel like you're never gonna get better. And even when I have something as small as like what I thought was strep throat, which was really not strep throat. Like, this is so dumb. This is so dumb, you guys. This is just how dramatic I am. I was thinking, if I ever got something physical, like a physical ailment or something that was that painful for a long time, that would be, I can handle mental anguish and emotional anguish. That I've got covered. Physical pain, I'm okay with, but I don't know what it was, but I was literally like, just take me now. I'm like, God, just take me now. This is too much. My throat is killing me. It hurts to swallow. So just take me now. And I was thinking, if I ever got something actually serious, that would be rough, you know? You would get through it because you would just have to build resiliency, but I can be a little bit of a baby. I thought I wasn't. I thought I never was a baby, but I can be a little bit of a baby when it comes to the throat stuff, I guess. Specifically the throat stuff. Stomach, fine. My appendix could burst. I'd probably be fine for a week. I don't know what birth is like. Not even going to touch on that. No idea. I've really not really had a lot of physical stuff other than stomach, and that's about it. So, and joint pain. I have like 50-year-old joints, so I need to, you know, lubricate my joints somehow. And anyways, those are my dubs and L's. Now let's move on to the rest of the episode. Okay, you guys, I am feeling very, very excited and emo because this podcast is now made possible by No CD. You guys have heard me talk about No CD a million times in my podcast. I did therapy there. I go to support groups still to this day. And it's been such a huge part of my recovery journey. I couldn't be more excited about this partnership with them. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure response prevention therapy, which is a gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live, face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists from anywhere inside or outside the U.S. It's affordable and they accept most major insurance plans, so getting help has never been easier. NoCD therapy goes beyond sessions. It includes in-between session support where you can message your therapist anytime, access therapeutic tools, and get support from a community of peers who are overcoming OCD right in the NoCD platform. Breaking the OCD cycle takes effective treatment. Visit NoCD.com today and book a free 15-minute call with their care team, many of whom have also experienced OCD. If you think you may be struggling with OCD, there's always hope. Now is the time to regain your life. Visit NoCD.com today. Just to recap, last week I talked about trying to not speak about other people's traumas or crazy things that happen purely for my entertainment. I really try hard to not do that just because it is hurtful when it's your pain and it's so real and it's so like all-encompassing. Just knowing that people are like, I mean, it's inevitable. It's the human condition. People can't help themselves, but like want to know everything and are nosy little SOBs. I can be too, but I think I'm just more aware of that now, how hurtful it can be and how unhelpful it is. So I talked about that. And then I also talked about forgiveness and what that looked like and how I have to practice that now, kind of on like a monthly, when it surfaces back up, basis, and also just in the moment, like how to forgive. Now I wanted to talk about what to say, not necessarily what to say, just like how to react to people's hardships. Before, if someone were to, I don't know, talk about something that was hard or something that was like pretty traumatic, I don't think I would know how to approach that person or talk to them, or I'd be too scared. I just didn't know how to handle it. Like if I was confronted with that, I ever had to say like my condolences or something. As well as I feel like before, if something hard happened to someone, I wouldn't realize how hurtful it would be to also say that it's hard for you somehow. So for anyone that's new to my podcast and listening, my whole story with like my divorce, like to be honest, when I talk about it now, it's like getting kind of old. Like I'm like, I'm sick of talking about it sometimes. So I really don't want to like talk about it that much. It's on an episode of What We Said. You can go listen to it. I talk like the full story of what happened. I really tried hard not to make it about him or like how horrible he was. I think it was more just like I wanted to share my story, how shocking, and also raise awareness around anxiety, OCD, and like how that does affect relationships. So if you want to listen to it, you can go to What We Said. I don't know what the episode's called. Just look for one featuring Abby, and then that should be the one. I've only been on there twice, so... But it was a very shocking thing and never experienced anything like that before, like that type of heartbreak. And so for me, I felt very like it was just shocking. Like I didn't know how to react. I didn't know how to think. I didn't know like what I was feeling. I didn't know how to feel. It was just shocking. And it definitely changed my brain chemistry, where I think from that day forward, I just have never really been the same. And I don't know if I ever will, in the way of being so, I don't know, just like blissfully ignorant, I guess. On one hand, I'm really grateful for that because I do feel like it's brought more of a depth to like my understanding and everything. But at the same time, on the flip side, it's like, I'm really ticked off about that because I would have been fine being blissfully ignorant, you know, that would have been nice and just super trusting still. But I had some people tell me stuff like, this is really hard for me, or this is really hard for this person in my life regarding my divorce and just everything that happened. It's like, oh, this has been really hard on us or really hard on me. But they would talk to me about that, and then I'd feel like really sad and like more like, oh, it's my fault. Like I had, just people in my life would say like, this has been really hard on me, to me, about my divorce. And to me, that felt like I understand, because I am not invalidating their feelings. I know that it was hard for people in my life. I know that it like affected their brain chemistry as well, I think, for a little bit. You know, so I fully am aware that that is very real pain on people that I knew, because they're seeing me in pain. They're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know people that I knew could do something like that, you know, to someone I love. So there's no shame in that. I'm not trying to shame anyone for saying anything like that, whatever, to me. But it just opened my eyes to like, oh my gosh, if someone around me is going through something hard, I never want to say anything like how it's affecting me to that person. You can talk about how it's affecting you to a close confidant that is not the person who it happened to, because then the person that it happened to feels more lonely in that, and it feels like, I felt like more of a burden. So I can only speak for myself. I felt like more of a burden when someone would tell me like that my divorce was hard on them. It's like, well, I'm sorry, you know, like I didn't want that. I didn't want this to happen. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to console you. I feel like I'm a wreck. I kind of wish that someone were to console me, you know. Many people did. It's just weird, like nuanced, I don't know if that's the right word, but just like kind of niche ways to handle people's trauma and their pain. And one way is just never make it about you. Just never ever make someone else's heartache and pain about you, ever. Even if it did affect you in some way, do not ever talk to the person who that happened to, just, you know, until maybe a long time in the future when they're clearly over it, like they're way past it, they feel way better. Like if someone were to tell me now how much it affected them, I do not care. Like I'm like, I would love to listen to that because I'm now in a place where I'm like, can receive that and I don't take it. And it doesn't feel as heavy on my heart and it doesn't make me feel more burdensome. I think some people just don't realize, like, I think some people try to connect through that by like saying, this is hard on me too. Trying to connect on like how hard it is and be like, well, this is hard for me because it happened to you. And I feel like I can see the intent behind that. But just if you want to be more supportive and more helpful, that is one way that you can be mature about it, is to just never make it about you. That's something that I wanted to talk about because I do feel like I'm feel more equipped for when things get hard in my life for other people. I do feel more equipped now for if someone is going through something really hard. I know just to remind myself to just never talk about myself. Do not make it about myself. Like, I don't have to try to like relate in some way. Sometimes people don't want you to relate in some ways. Sometimes people just want their pain to be witnessed fully in whatever that looks like, however that looks like. That is what's needed. That was the most helpful for me, and I think fully get over my divorce. The second thing is, I wanted to talk about how much closer I got to my family members and how, like, I do think that that's something that I'm really, really grateful for because it was so hard on me and my family. But at the same time, I feel like when you do go through hard stuff as a family, it's inevitable. And I'm not saying like it's so awesome. I hope everyone goes through horrible, hard times. Like, I don't, it's a weird paradoxical thing. I don't really want anyone to go through hard times, but I did. And it was like life changing, you know, in the worst and best way. And I feel so much closer to my family, like all of my brothers, my sister, my mom, my dad. I feel like, yeah, when there's like a tragedy, you guys get so much closer. And I've never really had a lot of, like, I didn't grow up with a lot of tragedy. And if I did, it was very shielded from my eyes. And so when this happened, I think it was like one of the most shocking things for my whole family. Again, I know it was hard on everyone, but I found kind of who was really there for me in the hard times. And that was like a huge lesson to me. I feel like I've always known that family is like so important, you know, because I've learned about it my whole life. Like when you grew up religious, especially being like a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you learn a lot about families. It's like, yeah, don't care. I hear it all the time. Don't care. I know, type of thing. And my mom would always say, your siblings are the most important people in your life, all that junk. And I kind of knew that, but at the same time, I think when I actually needed people to rely on and they showed up for me, I don't know, you just kind of know who's going to show up for you and who really loves you and who really is able to like be with you in your worst times. Life is not about being with people when they're fun or cool or good or in family, friends, chosen family, whatever. They're not just there for your like entertainment or there for your fun or, you know, if they're maybe a little bit sad or a little bit annoying sometimes, you don't just cut people off. I've just found so much joy when you are able to be with someone at the worst points in their life and you stick through it. I just learned, I think through my experiences, that that's like the most important thing in life, to me at least, is to have people that really, really love you that aren't just using you for entertainment or like they see who you are, they see your flaws, they see your good stuff, they see your bad stuff, but they see you trying and they sometimes see you not trying, you know, and they still love you. And I think when people hear that now, they're like, oh, that's just you're taking advantage of someone if like you're not constantly robot perfect. And I just really don't believe that that's the case. I think sometimes with social media, it puts so much pressure on the people in your life have to be perfect, okay? Or you're just accepting toxicity. Or people like your family, especially poor moms, man, they get destroyed on social media. It's not to say and disregard that moms can be very hurtful because they're moms. I feel like for me, I found the most like meaning is when I'm able to like see the things that are hurtful. I'm not just saying for my mom, from everyone around me, siblings, friends, everyone, boyfriend, things that are hurtful that they do that disappoints you. But you don't just like give up, you know, just get rid of them because of that. It's like you can still feel those feelings, validate that, and then express that and try in the relationship. You have to express how you feel and what the other person is doing in not an attacking way. Try different things. It's all about, I think, not giving up on someone and fully believing in them. It just feels good also to like, I don't know, support. I don't know, believe in your family and your friends. Oh, I don't know, not give up on people so fast. And when you're constantly looking at what everyone else is doing wrong in your life, saying, you're toxic, you do this, you do this, you do this. You got to point the finger back at yourself, you know? Be real, saying, what am I doing that's a little bit toxic? What am I doing that's kind of hurtful to someone? It's also interesting because the whole reason why I feel like the narrative in my head around my divorce is that like my ex-husband gave up on me like while I was struggling chronically with OCD for like, I think 3 months I had it like really bad. My whole life I've had it a little bit, but it kind of came and went and no one would really know when it like hit really hard and I couldn't ignore it anymore. And it was 24/7 obsessions and compulsions. He was just like, this is hard. Like I'm giving up. And so that was so devastating. So now that in me is like, I never want to give up on someone because I know how that feels. It fueled me for a little bit being like, well, you don't believe in me. So then I'm going to do A, B, and C and I'll show you what you missed. But then that faded fast. You know, that fades very fast because and eventually it's like, he doesn't care. I don't care. So great. Now I'm just left with like feeling like I'm never going to be good enough for someone or no one's going to believe in me. I don't want to give up on people. I don't want to give up on things. However, I do want to give up on myself sometimes. That's very interesting. That was it. So hopefully any of that made sense. And I hope my voice isn't too annoying. So let's do a Dear Abby and then we will shut this down. Okay. Hi, Abby. Love your podcast so much. I've been married for 3 years now and love my husband dearly. But his family is such a toxic mess. How do you deal with a toxic family member? I can't love them, but I also can't get rid of them. First, I would think about what is the goal? What do I want out of this relationship? And depending on the goal, that's kind of how you move. If you want like if you really want to try to have a relationship and kind of get to know and try to like, I don't know, eventually break down walls, get closer with them, I think the steps would then be trying to kind of let go of expectations of how that person should be acting towards you. Just trying to understand them, understand why they are toxic in some ways. You know, I don't know how toxic you're talking, because if you're just talking like says annoying things every once in a while, yeah, that's annoying. I don't know if that's necessarily toxic. I feel like in my head, I'm thinking toxic. I think of actually toxic, like chronically trying to bring someone down, chronically getting in like the middle of everything, like more proactive about their intent to destroy something. That's how I think of toxic. Not just like someone who you don't like, you don't get why they do the things they do. Maybe you just completely think about things differently. I wouldn't necessarily think that's toxic. I think that's just being different and being like humans that are different. Yeah, if the goal is to connect, I think maybe break down those expectations of how they should be acting. And just try to get to know them on like a very blank slate level. I think a huge way to do that if you're trying to be with someone who maybe is a little bit difficult to love. How to Love a Porcupine. I've never read that book, but I should. You really have to work on a lot, I've noticed. You have to work a lot on your own confidence. And not trying to just, not confidence as in like, I want peace where I push everyone away and I'm just alone 24/7. I think confidence and like, I'm confident that I can make this relationship work. I'm confident that I'm strong enough to where if they say something hurtful or if they're trying to demean me, I can level with them and be not mean back, but I can be like stern and speak my mind and also be kind and gentle to them, whatever. I think that works really well with toxic family members, is to build up your own confidence. And how to do that, you know, is I think just taking more time to yourself, doing things alone. If you're in a relationship, oh, you're married. So I think just working on your relationship, you know, just like small things that are hard, like maybe changing a little bit of a behavior that's really hard to do. That always builds my confidence. Keeping a habit up for a couple of weeks, that also builds my confidence, you know, do stuff like that. I think that just always helps with hard people. Okay, again, going back to the goals. If your goal is like, no, I don't want any relationship with them. I don't care. Like, I just can't be bothered. Like, that's like if they're so toxic, like they're actually proactively trying to like destroy your marriage or destroy everything. If you really feel like they're so actually toxic, it is kind of best sometimes just to distance yourself and make boundaries. But I think you're smart enough and totally capable of discerning that for yourself. Like if they are pushing boundaries and they're being proactively toxic, like trying to destroy things, manipulative, like actually toxic versus like maybe they just can be annoying sometimes or they can say kind of rude things. You don't see eye to eye. They get on your nerves, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, you can figure out between the two since I don't have that much context. That is it for today's episode, you guys. Also, I've had a heating pad with me the whole time because sometimes when you're like a little bit sicky, you just want to be warm. And I've just had like the chills. I feel achy and chilly. So a heating pad feels nice. That's it for today's episode, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Dear Abby. _ I believe. And I'm also on YouTube. I post the podcast there. If you wanted to watch, you can like, subscribe, comment, leave a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. And yeah, love you guys. Have a good weekend. Bye. Ooh, heads on taking a ride to join at late. 눈치 보면서 들어가 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개설레임 바꾸는 사람.